Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Jesus healed a blind man's eyes. His works of healing were complete. Once I was blind, but now I can see. Can the same be said for the miracles of televangelists? Today, lessons from the great physician on miracles of healing. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is continuing his series on seven convincing miracles. We'll turn again to John chapter 9 and see the reactions of people when a blind man was healed, though not in the manner of some contemporary faith healers.
But the simple fact is he did not attempt one single miracle without that miracle being successful. And it is because he had the power, whether people had faith or not, they were healed. No matter how small their faith, it mattered not. Jesus had spoken, and he was God. Now, that's a faith healer. Many years ago, there was a woman who is very well known. I would mention her name, but I shall not, even though those of you who have been around a while, you'll know instantly who I'm talking about. She was a faith healer, and she later got sick and died, as all faith healers do, by the way. And I think that she's in heaven, though I believe that she was deceived. That takes more explanation than I'm prepared to give to you today, but I want to tell you what I saw. I was brought into the meeting here at the amphitheater in Chicago. Huge crowd, about 20,000 people. And because I was with the man who helped bring her into the city, I was sitting closer to her in the audience than any other person. In fact, a chair was put ahead of the front row, and I was sitting there. I saw buses come from Milwaukee and St. Louis and from Springfield and from the Quad Cities. And all of these buses came bringing people in wheelchairs. There was a whole section of the amphitheater, and it was designated for that. It looked like a car lot, if I might say it, with rows and rows. We're talking about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of disabled people. And she finished her sermon. Then she said, "You have to come forward to receive your healing." So various people came, and nobody was quite sure whether a miracle was performed, but somebody came in a wheelchair, and the wheelchair was put on the platform, and the man walked across the platform. And she said, "You came in that wheelchair? I came in that wheelchair. And now you're walking? And now you're walking." Yes, a miracle. 20,000 people clapped. 20,000 people went home that evening and said, "We saw it with our own eyes." But because I was sitting so close to the front, as the man came down the steps, I motioned to him because there was so much noise in the auditorium, so much clapping. I said, "In the confusion, I did not hear what it was you were healed from." And he whispered in my ear and he said, "Well, to be honest, I don't know whether or not I'm healed." He said, I still walk with difficulty, but I'm trusting God for healing." I said, "You mean you were walking before you came here then today?" He said, "Yes, but I walk with pain in my back." Okay, 20,000 people said they saw it. But here's the heartbreaking thing, and this is where there is misunderstanding and hurt and cruelty. I stayed after the meeting. I did not hurry out the exits. I watched as all of these people in wheelchairs, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, were wheeled back to their buses to go to St. Louis and to go to Milwaukee, all believing it was their fault that they were not healed. If only they had had the faith, they could have been healed. In fact, she kept saying, "Maybe you're being healed. Try to exercise your faith." I saw people in the wheelchairs trying to stand up and always falling back. My dear friend, that is not of God. That's not the way Jesus did it. I say not with sarcasm, though it may appear that way, that oftentimes the Lord's sheep often cannot tell the difference between grass and astroturf. What you have is people who feel guilty because they are not healed, because it is their problem. If only you had the faith. Whenever Jesus began a miracle, it was always a miracle of healing, and it was fully accomplished. Fully accomplished. So the first work of God done in this man's life was physical healing. Let me give you a second work of God, and that was spiritual healing. Spiritual healing. And the second work is going to be bigger than the first. What I want you to notice is the progression of how this man, his view of Jesus Christ developed. For example, in verse 11 we read, when they asked him, how then were your eyes open, they demanded. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He was not a believer in Christ. He was not saved in any sense of the word. He says, the man they called Jesus, that's the best he knew. And then they pressed him and said, who is he? And in verse 17, he says, he is a prophet. And that was honoring him, but he still doesn't know who Jesus is. He was an unconverted man. Verse 35. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he is not aware. He says, well, who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking to you. And the man said, Lord, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And this miracle was greater than the first. Greater than the first. Because that man is going to be in heaven today, and that's always more than a physical miracle. What that meant is that Jesus Christ actually, through this awesome demonstration, not only took the scales from his eyes and gave him new eyes so that he could see physically, Jesus also gave him new eyes of the heart so that he could understand that Jesus was the Son of God, that he was a sinner, that if he believes in Christ as Lord and as Savior, he will be saved. And he does something that you would never do if Jesus were merely a man. He worships him. He worships him. And so I expect to see that man in heaven. You know that there are parallels between the physical healing and the spiritual. For example, number one, both of them have to be done by God because both of them are a miracle of creation. When Jesus spoke the word, you see, and this man's eyes were formed and connected to his brain and the whole nervous system of his body. When Jesus did that miracle, it was a miracle of creation. And when he recreates us, when we belong to God forever, he creates within us a new nature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. God speaks the word, and as a result of that speaking, life is granted. Eternal life. We begin to see our sins, you see, because we have new spiritual eyesight. We begin to see God. We see his holiness. We begin to see our need of him. And the miracle turns out to be greater. You say, well, why is it greater? Well, think this through. Jesus could do a miracle of restoring somebody's sight just by raw power. He could just choose to do it. But also, when it comes to the spiritual miracle, it is not simply power. It is also grace. It is also Jesus dying on the cross for sinners. And that displays the love and the mercy and the justice of God. You see, if Jesus had not died on the cross, this man would not be saved even if he worshiped Christ. Because his sins would then be included in the death of Christ, which would take place a few years later. So you see, that is a miracle of love and grace. I've quoted the words of the song before, but they come to mind, and I'll see if I remember them. You remember, it took a miracle to put the stars in space. It took a miracle to put the world in place. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. That's the second great work that God did as a result of this man's blindness. Physical healing, spiritual healing, and then third, a work of judgment, a work of judgment. Listen to what Jesus said. Verse 39, Jesus said, for judgment I have come into the world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Are you puzzled by that verse? Jesus said, I've come into the world to judge people, so that the blind see, and the seeing people are made blind. What he means is this. First of all, he comes to give spiritual sight to those who are blind and know it. You see, if you know that you're blind, if you know that you do not have spiritual sight, if you know that you're lost, if you know that you're a sinner abandoned to your own fate, there's hope for you, because then you can cast yourself upon the mercy of God, and God comes along and does the miracle. But, Jesus said, I also came that the seeing might be made blind. People who say to themselves, I see. Luther said on one occasion that the unconverted, they are blind and sick, but think that they can see and that they're well. And so they don't notice their need. You've met people like that. You have relatives like that. You've told them about Jesus Christ, and Christ has changed your own life, and they see no need to be born again. They're good people. They pay their taxes. They voted in the last election. They haven't killed anybody. They've never robbed a bank. What are you talking to me like this for? Jesus said that people who think they see are blinded because of his coming. Listen carefully. Not everybody benefits because Jesus comes. Not everybody benefits by an encounter with Christ. There are some people who are then brought into judgment, and they are made blinder, if that's possible. They are confirmed in their blindness because they heard about Christ and did not see in meeting him their great need for him to be their Savior. This is Pastor Lutzer, and of course, we're also reminded of the miracles that Jesus did when he was here on earth. And the message that I just preached is this wonderful story of Jesus taking a blind man, and the blind man was able to see. And no one was able to give an explanation for the miracle. It was such a direct miracle. But the purpose was this: to make an analogy between physical sight and spiritual sight. And the Bible would teach that all of us are born blind, and what we need is new eyes to see. But here is one of the most sobering thoughts that could ever cross our minds. If you believe a lie, that lie is actually the truth for you. Thus, we have so much self-deception. People think that they don't need forgiveness, they don't need God's grace, they don't need Christ. They are perfectly fine as they are, thank you. And as a result of that, we notice that they are confirmed and continue in that blindness. Well, when we accept Jesus Christ as Savior, what a change he makes. We are then able to see all kinds of different things very, very differently. Our attitudes change, our conceptions change, our lifestyle changes. We view the world differently, all because of the miracle of conversion. Call to Jesus today to receive that blessed spiritual sight.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Today, Erwin Lutzer shared more of the story about a man born blind, the seventh message in his series, Seven Convincing Miracles, taken from the Gospel of John. Next time, final lessons we can learn from a divisive miracle. This series can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com. or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Ask about seven convincing miracles when you write or call. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.